B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missanelli's show on a Tuesday, and a lot of news being made on a Tuesday. We broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Is everybody happy now? Yesterday, when Andrew Souchunas was the producer, we're going back and forth about how this was disrupting everybody's life, and what's disrupting Tyrone's life. Tyrone, before the show, swore that he was now going to use his money that he would have paid for Phillies tickets for vacation, that he was tired of the whole thing. Well, now it's busted wide open, because one of the guys has signed, and there is the measuring stick. Machado gets $300 million for 10 years. $30 million a year. That's what we thought that they were bargaining for. I said a long time ago. How many weeks did I say it, Tyrone? I don't know. 5 weeks ago?
Might have been longer. I think it's probably about 7 weeks ago.
Seven weeks ago, I said the Phillies are in a position where they're going to have to pay $350 million for 10 years and end it. Well, they weren't willing to do that because they're playing this game. They want to negotiate against themselves. So now the standard has been set, $300 million for 10 years, which is the exact same offer the Washington Nationals offered Bryce Harper that he turned down. Now, what does this do? Does this favor the Phillies? Because the word is out, at least from the hundreds of baseball experts who have put their two cents in on this whole thing, that he doesn't like Philadelphia. And that's what the holdup is, that he doesn't want to play in Philadelphia. Well, there's a way to get around that. And the way to get around that is to do what? Pay extra. So he likes Philadelphia. Like I said from the start, maybe it wasn't his first choice. You know how you make it your first choice? You go to $350 million for 10 years, $35 million a year. He's the highest paid player in baseball. Scott Boras can wear that as like a nice little badge of honor and walk around California with it and knows he's got the guy that was worth the most money. All right? It's really come down to that simple, hasn't it? If the Phillies lose him now, what? Is he going to turn down $350? Is he going to turn down $325? It would be silly to do that, right? But herein lies the peril. Because of this dance that was going on, because the Phillies were dancing, maybe they were trying to get him at the best deal possible, maybe they didn't want to bid against themselves, maybe they didn't know the number that was out there, does it invite other people to come in? Does it invite the Washington Nationals? That's already put $300 mil on the board for the guy to go up to 325, and he wants to play in Washington, and he goes to 325. All they do is put 25 more million in there. Are they in danger of losing him to the Nationals now? To the Yankees now that the price has been set. Say, well, you know, he wants to be a Yankee. What the hell? We don't mind paying the luxury tax. We might as well give him $325 million if he wants to be a Yankee. We'll make him happy. Where does this put the Phillies? Does it give them an advantage or does it give them a disadvantage? The one topic we can't talk about anymore is how baseball is holding up the fans. God forbid. They were holding up the fans, Tyrone. They were making them wait. They were holding them hostage all this time. And now, here comes the fruition. It's the Phillies chess move. How you feeling about it?
I don't feel good about it.
You don't feel good about it?
No, I should feel great.
Uh-huh.
Because using conventional wisdom, the team with the most money right now, in theory, is the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
And the Phillies can call them up and say, all right, 300 is the baseline. I'll offer you 325. And they say 325 is not enough. And you say, okay, 340. And then you get the 350 mm-hmm. and it should get done. The problem is you've been playing games with the guy.
He's been playing games with them, too.
Well, fine.
Frankly.
They've been fine. You've been playing games. But he holds all the chips.
Yes, he does.
They need him more than he needs them.
Yes, he does.
Once you get the $300 million, what if he says, I like Washington's 320 more than your 330? Mm-hmm. Had you just did, what, 350 in the beginning, mm-hmm. you probably could have got this done sooner. But since they didn't, they don't have a track record of success at all. This whole group, they do not. This group has no track record of success until they get the deal done. I don't feel good about it.
They played smarty pants this whole time, thinking that eventually these players weren't going to get their 10 years and were going to come folding back, and the Phillies would get them at a 7-year deal and they wouldn't have to pay as much money. And what, so God forbid, you bid against yourself. And now they're in danger of losing the man because reports are that the Philadelphia thing is what's holding them up. Now, I know how the macho Philadelphia fan is thinking about this. Well, screw it. He doesn't want our city. We don't want him. And that would be foolhardy because that really is cutting off your nose to spite your face. You may be offended by the fact that he doesn't like your fair city. The bottom line is you need him to like your fair city. And the only way that he likes your fair city is for $50 extra million, which I said at the start. About Meg Kladtak, I don't have a problem spending $350 million of John Middleton's money. Why would I? If I'm going to get the guy, he wants to spend stupid money, I'll throw $350 out there right away. I don't know. What's all the shenanigans? If you really wanted a player and you really want to contend, you got to pay that kind of money to contend. It's really simple. And don't give me the BS that you still had a successful offseason if you don't get this guy. Because you don't have a successful offseason if you don't get this guy. A successful offseason is determined by whether you've done enough to consider yourself a possible winner. And the Phillies are short of that right now. With Harper, they outslug people. Just like they did, and I heard Anthony say the same thing in 2008. Their pitching staff was kind of feeble. They outslug people. That's the kind of team this has to be, with the bullpen, good bullpen, and a team that can score runs 5-6 a game. That's how they win. The only way they do that is with Bryce Harper. So how do you feel, Philly fans? Are you on the macho side of it where, oh, he doesn't want my city, I don't want him, screw him? Or do you say, hey, Phillies, you should have been offering $350 million in the first place because you know that would have got it done. What side of the fence are you on? We'll talk about it. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. It is the topic of the day for Philly fans. The other topic that I wanted to throw in today is an offbeat topic. I want to, I guess it was last week. We were talking about movies. And I looked at this IMDb's list, top list of 100 movies. And I made a comment at the time that there were only like 10 that were from 1990 on. The rest of them were old-time movies, like the old classics. So I started to think to myself, if I were to ask this modern-day audience that listens to our program, what would be their top 10 movies? What movies would come out in the top 10, Tyrone? What would be the number one movie for people? If you're counting 1990 on, what would be the number one movie on everybody's list? The Godfather's out now. Right? I take The Godfather out. My top five of all time were classics. Like my top five was The Godfather, The Sting, Good, the Bad, the Ugly, Pulp Fiction, and Deer Hunter. They were kind of old school movies except for Pulp Fiction. So by that theory, my number one movie would then have to be Pulp Fiction. If we're counting from the 90s on. So which one is your top movie, Tyrone?
For me, Pulp Fiction would be one, I agree.
That would be number one.
Yes.
Okay.
Two, for me, is Goodfellas.
Goodfellas would be two?
It'd be two for me.
Really? See, I wouldn't have that at two.
Yeah, I would.
And that would surprise a lot of people.
Right. Three would be Braveheart.
Uh-huh.
Four would be Shawshank.
Uh-huh.
Five would be Casino. I like that movie way more than other people do. I love Casino.
Casino is a pretty good candidate.
Yeah, and that would be my five off the top of my head.
All right, well, that's a pretty good one. I would have in my top five Pulp Fiction, one, Shawshank, two, Braveheart, three, The Departed, four, and The Usual Suspects, five.
It's not bad. Those are all top. To me, the Departed, it didn't hit me. I don't know why.
Really?
It didn't hit me the way these.
No, I liked the Departed a lot.
It was great.
Now, Goodfellas would be in my bottom 10, along with Gladiator, Casino, Gump. I had to put my top 10.
Oh, look at that.
There you go. It's a classic.
Oh, look
Gump.
At that.
And I loved Inglourious Basterds.
Super underrated.
Yeah, it's a very underrated movie. So I'll put that in my top 10 as well. So we'll just kick that around today as we're discussing the Bryce Hart. Now, Manny Machado's gone. All right? I got what I wanted. Only one guy left. Now you got to sign the right fielder. To me, it makes more sense for the Phillies to have a left-handed slugger in their lineup now who can hit 45 home runs in right field where you wouldn't have to put up with a platoon of Nick Williams and Aaron Altair. And you still have Franco there, knucklehead that he is, still give you 20 home runs. That's 65 home runs out of those two positions. You got Machado with 30, you only get 35 home runs, and you probably get 20 at max in right field. So this is the guy you have to target. What should the Phillies do right now? What would you do? 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. We're back after this.
One move made. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Report state, Manny Machado has signed with the San Diego Padres per Bob Nightingale. The deal will pay him $300 million over 10 years. Stay locked into the Fanatic for all breaking free agency news. Flyers look for another win when they play the Lightning tonight at home. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Our Flyers weekly show leads you into the game beginning at 6. Sixers continue the All-Star break. They'll resume play Thursday night against the Heat at home. Eagles are now free to franchise tag quarterback Nick Foles. Tim McManus checks in with Mike at 4:10. New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL Stadium Series, watches the Penguins take on the Flyers. New Amsterdam Spirits Company, Modesto, California. Copyright 2019. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, it's 2:17. Jason Stark will join us at 2:30 for the latest on what's going on with the Machado deal and also Bryce Harper. Where does that leave he and Scott Boras right now? And where do the Phillies figure? Does he really not like Philadelphia? We'll find out from Jason. 2 o'clock hours brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Okay, attention HVAC contractors. You can visit Ferguson's counter locations on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, supplies for every heating and a cooling job. Time to start the Twitter poll. And the Twitter poll by the triumphant Natalie Eganoff, who yesterday with Andrew Salchunas, the Temple University duo, won against the audience in presidential trivia. Tyrone, you missed it. You're frolicking on the beach.
Yeah.
You missed the Temple duo slay the audience.
Yes, we did.
In presidential trivia.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you, Ty.
I lost a lot of money at sugarhouse.com.
You bet on the audience.
Yes. Anyway, the Twitter poll is brought to us. Paul B. Moore and Sons, from snowblowers to generators to small engines. Every part for every machine in stock when you need it. Moyer will keep you going this winter, Nat.
Over 1,500 votes early on this, Mike. Will the Phillies seal the deal with Harper? 48% saying yes. 34% are worried, and 18% say no.
Well, more people think yes than no.
Yeah.
That's good.
A lot of worry.
You can't help but be worried now. Because what this does is it invites the Nationals back in. My feeling is he always wanted to play with the Nationals. He felt disrespected. Right? Like, that wasn't enough for him. Boris is telling him, you're still lowballing you. You're worth $350. Right? So the Nationals went out and spent all kinds of other money. All of a sudden, they're back in, and you know, Boris makes a call. He goes, listen, my guy wants to really play. They got $25 million more. Well, they're going to say no. They're ready to offer $300.
Yeah, and they have a bunch of money that comes off the books after 1 year. The Phillies, I'm rooting for this group, but this group hasn't done anything
well
yet.
What did I say before? They were playing a very dangerous game here. Very dangerous.
Yeah.
And if they don't land them, I'm not going to be happy. I will be miserable from this point through the baseball season.
Yeah. You have a right
to be. Might
be
great TV.
What will spring training be like if they if he signs back with
I'll be as evil as Gritty on the air. I'll be like Gritty on the air. My eyes will be bulging.
Gritty's a lover. You're not going to be a lover.
Gritty's a rapscallion. Ryan in New Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Mike, what's going on,
what's
man?
What's up, Ryan?
Leading off the show. This is great. What's up is I disagree with your logic on several things.
Okay.
And I'm glad that I was able to jump in first here. But the first thing is him not wanting to come to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
That started with one guy on Twitter. One of these guys with a blue check, like, you know, talking about baseball, that he was quote unquote unsure. And a couple things. Number one, of course he's unsure. He's a West Coast guy. He seemed to prefer San Fran for a little bit there. And does he really want to come to another team in the division? The whole thing. And
you know, his notion, he's a West Coast guy. Played in Washington for 27 years. Well, he's a West Coast guy. He doesn't care where he plays.
I think he does.
So who's he going to sign with? There's nobody out there offering him money.
Well, that's a great point. And that leads to my second point is I couldn't quite follow you in the opening there.
Mm-hmm.
This whole time, Machado was going to sign before him. This whole time. He knew that.
Why?
So he...
Why? I didn't know that.
Because Harper has the better agent. He's the better player. So, of course, Machado is going to sign first.
Let me ask you this. If the Phillies from the jump offered $350, do you think that he would care who signed first? If they offered Harper $350 from the jump, who would have signed first?
Only if he cared about where he played, which it seems like he does.
At $350, that sweetens the pot on where you're playing. You could play on Mars for $350, and there's no water there. There's no Gatorade. You see what I'm saying, Ryan? Ryan's speechless. Listen, to me, it was fundamental from the jump. Boris wanted to break the bank. He turned down $300 million. Philadelphia may not be his favorite city. You got to pay extra. It's fundamental baseline logic. And they fiddle-faddled, and now they're in a precarious spot. John and Penn Salkin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike, what's up, buddy?
What's up, John?
Well, you know from my last couple calls, I've been worried. I've been praying that we picked them up. I'm with you. They should have offered the $350 from the beginning to get this guy in here. They desperately need him. I'm praying that now that Machado signed, that we open up the checkbook and offer up what needs to be offered up because we need this guy.
No, listen, I hope the Phillies get him. I hope they get him at a little more than $300 million. Maybe Boris just wants a dollar more. Who knows? But what I'm saying is, like, here's what you have to ask yourself. $350 million is a lot of money for 10 years. It is. You got to ask yourself as an organization, is he worth it to us? And the question has to be answered to that, yes.
To our team, that we desperately need a right field power.
Exactly. It's your fault that you needed him, and you need to pay $350, but you need him. And if you don't get him in your lineup, you're not winning anything.
And like you said, they played games from the beginning, not wanting to fight against themselves with both guys, and now it don't look like we're going to get neither
one. And they played games, John, with the owner saying he was willing to spend stupid money.
Stupid money.
What brownie points are they trying to win? The owner's already on the record.
Hey, Mike, can I give you my five movies?
Sure, go ahead. What do you got?
Number one, Braveheart.
Uh-huh.
Number two, Godfather.
No, it has to be 1990 above.
90 above.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we're talking about the modern movies here. That's why. That's what the whole point was.
Oh, okay, okay.
You put Braveheart over Godfather? Come on, dude.
Yeah, well, I had Braveheart.
That's a violation. Yeah,
that's a total violation. But go ahead. What are your pluses?
The only other two I have within the 90s would be Cinderella Man and Donnie Brasco.
Donnie Brasco, good movie. Cinderella Man, good movie. Not top 10 worthy, though. You know, we're getting some, here's some ones that could be left out. Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Good Will Hunting, everybody seems to like. You know, I think it's the most overrated movie ever made.
I mean,
I agree.
I love that movie.
A lot of people love it, no surprise that I do. For reasons that are unclear to me. It's the most overrated, worst acted movie ever. Matt Damon couldn't act his way out of a paper bag in that movie, nor could Ben Affleck.
Well, Robin Williams was great in it.
Robin Williams was good in it. Nominated for the Academy Award. He was very good in it. Silence of the Lambs.
No, that's a great movie.
Fight Club.
Yes.
Great movie.
Seven.
Nah, it's great.
It's good, but I don't know if it's great.
Few Good Men.
I don't think it's on that level.
But you don't think it's a top 10?
I don't think it's top 10.
Okay.
Personally.
All right. That's fair.
But
people said love themselves some Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, that's weird. I remember I had a teacher who tried to play that like at the end of this. I was like in high school, like towards the end, and the teacher got emotional. Yeah, it didn't make sense to me.
It's a good movie.
There's one line that everybody remembers from the movie, and every time you're out in the movie, they do the line. Like you could be out in mixed company and talking about Good Will Hunting. Hey, you like apples? Yeah. Well, I got a phone number. How you like them apples? The only line it's worth in the whole movie.
I don't think you're being very fair, but I'm not surprised that either of you don't really love Good Will Hunting, to be honest.
Has had his moments in movies. He, in general, is a terrible actor.
No.
Oh, I can't have you talking like that about my guy, Matt Damon. Ben Affleck is worse.
I think they're both mediocre actors.
What has Matt Damon ever been good in?
It was great in The Bourne Identity.
That's not even a movie.
It is a movie.
That's a roller coaster.
No. He's the second one where he barely says five words. That one. The first one. That guy, he rocks it. He's one of those actors who is still always himself in the role. He's great in Ocean's Eleven.
Kind of like to your Tom Hanks thing, Matt Damon is still always Matt Damon in his role.
I can't believe this. He doesn't transcend into character.
He still stays as Matt Damon.
You're absolutely right.
Right?
Ocean's 11.
There is nothing that he has been really good in.
He was great in Ocean's 11.
Yeah, but he was still Matt Damon as that guy.
Ocean's 11. He was like...
He was the nerdy guy.
10th man on the list.
He did a really good job as Ocean's 11.
He didn't even count in Ocean's 11.
No, he counted in Ocean's 11.
Let's go to Matt and Lehigh, LaValle. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, what's up, Mikey?
What's going on, Matt?
Hey, I want to real quick start you with the top five movies, and I'm going to hit you with the Bryce Harper opinion.
All right, go ahead.
Braveheart 1. The Patriot 2. Legends of the Fall 3, Meet Joe Black, and Boys in the Hood.
There's some nice movies in that list. You know, they're not top 10 worthy, I don't think. Do the list again.
Braveheart.
Brocheck.
The Patriot.
You like some Mel Gibson, don't you? Patriot's a nice movie. It's not a great movie. Who else would you say?
Legends of the Fall.
Damn. Yeah, I would say no. That's too haughty for me, that movie. All right, what else?
Meet Joe Black?
Other than the fact that girl in that was cute as hell, Meet Joe Black wasn't that great.
The best part is in the beginning, he gets hit by the car while he's staring at it. Classic.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And Boys in the Hood, number
Boys
five.
Boys in the Hood, I love Boys in the Hood. I wouldn't make it a top 10. All right. Now, what's your Phil's point?
Bryce Harper, right? I mean, uh-huh. I'm not a Philly fan, per se.
We're losing you, bro.
5 years. Let's do $350 million. You're going to guarantee him $35 million a year in theory.
Yeah.
So you get 3 or 4 good productive years that put you in contention for a World Series or maybe 2. But what happens when a guy in the last 3 or 4 years of that deal starts to slowly decline?
Okay, so here's my question. Here's my counter question to you. Are you then better off without him?
It depends.
No, no, it doesn't depend. It's a yes or no question. You're going, maybe he declines at age whatever. I'm saying to you, okay, it's either that or they don't have him. What's better?
If I don't have him, it's where I can allocate that $350 million.
Where are you going to allocate it? Where are you going to allocate it to get a player as good as Bryce Harper?
Big.
Where?
Big, like, the pitcher. Pitching.
Pitching. There's no pitching out there. Pitching's all gone, bro. Pitching's all gone. This is the guy. This is the gold ring. Right there. Pitching's all gone. There's no premier pitchers left. You're talking about down the road. You want to allocate it down the road? Fine. They want to allocate it now. This is what they want to do. They want to be a contender now. So the solution is, if you're thinking, oh, he's going to go sour, which he might not. Bryce Harper might be a productive slugger until he's 35. You have no idea. Because Bryce Harper is a pretty physically fit guy. He might not lose much. But it's either that or you don't have him. So you're putting the worry that he's going to decline over the need for him, which doesn't make any sense. All right, let's talk to the man who knows baseball, can straighten this whole thing out more than anybody. He, of course, is a Hall of Famer. J.G. Spink Award winner, writer for The Athletic. He's on TV. He tweets. He's all over the place. His name is Jason Stark. He joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, Jason, one stands. Do they get him?
Do they get Bryce?
Do they get him? What are the odds now?
All right, well, I've thought for some time now, at least a week, that when the smoke cleared, Manny Machado would wind up in San Diego and Bryce Harper would wind up in Philadelphia. But you've still got a weird dynamic in place, man, because who are the Phillies bidding against here? That's a question that I don't know if even they can answer. When we saw those reports that surfaced over the weekend that the Phillies were in the lead, it was going to be $300 million plus, talks were intensifying. You know what that said to me? Scott Boras wanted that out there so that whoever else was still alive, whether it was the Nationals or some mystery mm-hmm. team, would step up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it necessarily meant the Phillies were about to finish off the deal. Haven't sensed that.
You get the impression, there's these reports out there that what's holding it up is that he's not that sweet on playing in Philadelphia. Are you hearing that?
Yeah.
You are hearing that.
I've been hearing that for a while. Mm-hmm. I think it's been apparent, right? Look, let's think about this. We're over 3 months into free agency, 3.5 months. He's clearly been waiting around for something. Scott Boras has clearly been waiting around for something. Is it just money? I don't think it is. I think his preference is to be somewhere else. I think his preference is still to go back to Washington. I think that's totally in the owner's hands. And I think this one is in the owner's hands in Philadelphia. Like, I think there's a certain price point where he has to say yes. But the Phillies had been under the impression they didn't have to get to that price point.
Mm-hmm.
My big question is, does this deal change that? I really don't think many people thought that Manny Machado was going to get 10 years, $300 million from anybody.
Yeah, much less San Diego. I have no idea what they're thinking out there, but that's their problem. So let's look at it this way, because I agree with you 100% that this brings the Nationals back in. They already offered him $300 million. I know they spent a lot of millions on other players. But if they are close, what's them to stop them from going, okay, let's make him happy. We'll go 325. He beats Machado's contract. He wants to come back here. No sweat off our nose. Let's do that.
You make it sound so simple, right?
I do.
that they offered what they offered at the beginning of the offseason and made it clear, Bryce, if you say no, we are building our team without you. And that is what they have gone right out and done that. If they were now to add a $35 million a year player or whatever, I mean, that puts them into the luxury tax purgatory. Unlike anything we've ever seen, they'd be in the 90% luxury tax bracket for eternity, for as long as he's there, just about. And that means a $35 million a year commitment becomes like almost a $70 million a year commitment. It's not that simple. But it's been interesting to talk to the Nationals people through the winter, because they went from we're out, he's going somewhere else, to, you know what, it might be 50-50, to we're out, to, you know what, this is in the owner's hands. Ask him. Well, Ted Lerner hadn't surfaced. We can't ask him, but this is totally his call. I don't think my gut tells me he's not doing what you just described, but does he really want to see this player go to a team in his division and have to play it 18 times a year?
Okay, here's the other side of it, though, and I understand the luxury tax hell. That luxury tax hell also may guarantee them a couple of world championships in the next 3 years. With that pitching staff and with him back in the lineup, who beats the Washington Nationals?
I'm not sure anybody beats them anyway, but I've been saying that for like 5 years, and they never win a series.
Would you pay the luxury tax in order to buy two World Series?
I've talked to their people about this since last September. I think they're positioned to win with or without them. Juan Soto was one of the best-looking young offensive players I've ever seen in my life last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Victor Robles is one of the best prospects in baseball. He arrived this year. They've got a combination of Adam Eaton and Michael Taylor, and they're good. They can play. This puts them way beyond any budget that you would ever expect that team to have. He would have to be reaching into his personal fortune. He's over 90 years old, Mike. Maybe he does that, right? But like from a baseball standpoint, from a budget standpoint, he doesn't have to, and they don't have to.
I don't know. If I'm buying the Rolls Royce, I spend the extra money for the supersonic sound system. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, let's get back to the Phillies here. Now, I've thought all along that the Phillies would have to cement this deal by going overboard. I said from the jump, they had to pay $350 for 10 years. From the jump. And they didn't want to negotiate against themselves. I understand that whole thing. But they are almost in a position to have to do that now, aren't they?
Like that's the aspect of this that is really crazy, because all right, let's just say they really are negotiating against themselves. Scott Boras does not see it that way. He thinks they're negotiating A, against Manny Machado, B, against Giancarlo Stanton, and three, against Zach Greinke, because he's got the highest average annual value ever. So he's got to make history, or he's not allowing his player to sign. So that means $35 million a year minimum. It means 10 years minimum in Scott's mind, and he's determined he's going to get it. He's telling the world as we speak, I'm getting more than that guy just got.
How did the Phillies
not? Like, you're not wrong.
How did the Phillies not realize that? I realized it. You did.
I don't know if that's the exact terminology. they've been playing this because they felt like they had the leverage here. They had the money. They had both players kind of scrambling for it, needed them, and it was really hard to foresee a scenario where multiple teams outbid them for both players. And you know, I think my impression in the last week or two is that they really didn't see another team that was seriously in this on Bryce. They really didn't think that Manny Machado was going to get 10 years or $300 million or $30 million a year. Didn't think that was happening. And this is a development that is going to cause them to rethink those assumptions. And look, this is now in John Middleton's hands. I think it probably always has been. He's been incredibly disciplined. He's been incredibly determined not to get played for a fool by Scott Boras. A lot of owners have been wined and dined and romanced by Scott and done stuff they regretted. He was determined not to be that guy. But Mike, this is on him.
Well, they have been playing a dangerous game all along. It's akin to Russian roulette. I got to ask you two more questions. The first one is, right now, what do you think the percentage chance is the Phillies get him?
Look, nobody really knows this answer. I'm just guessing. I told you at the beginning, I thought he was going to wind up as a Philly. Mm-hmm. I still think it's 75%. Because I don't know who
all
else
right. Well, that's
stupid money.
That's encouraging to the people here in 75.
Yeah, I think when the dust settles, he winds up in Philadelphia. But as I've been saying, it's clearly not his dream come true, and he's waiting around for something different to happen.
All right. If they don't get him, what are they? If they get him, what are they?
They've got to get him for me to be a playoff team. Look, they're a lot better, right?
Mm-hmm.
JT Realmuto is probably three wins better than whatever they were going to do at catcher. Reese Hoskins back to first base makes them 2 to 3 wins better. Gene Segura at short compared to what they were getting last year is 2 wins, 3 wins better. Andrew McCutchen is 2 wins better than what they had in the 8 outfield corners last year. And Bryce Harper is at least 3 or 4 more wins. I'm still concerned about their pitching repeating what they did last year, right? That after August 5th, they went 11-30 in games not started by Aaron Nola.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But if they get Bryce Harper, let's do the math, right? It's 3 wins, 2 wins, 2 wins, mm-hmm. 2 wins, 4 wins. That's like a 12 or 13 game improvement. That makes you a 90-plus win team. Yep. That's a playoff team.
Yes, it is. All right. We'll sit here and wait. And if there's any particular text comes your way, make sure you slide it over to us, pal. All right.
You got it, Mike.
All right, Jason. Thank you. Jason Stark on the Comcast Business Hotline. He says 75% chance. I'm not so sure about that. This dangerous game of Russian roulette may have backfired on him. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, 249. It is the Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. 75% chance to land him. But there's some news in here. A little tweet from Matt Gelb, who covers the Phillies for the Athletic, I believe. These guys all move around, man. They used to be the Inquirer. They're here, they're there.
Yeah.
How much do these guys get paid for going to a place like the Athletic?
I
think their salaries are.
I think they're doing fairly well.
Yeah?
Yeah,
what's
because
the Athletic make all this money?
That's they had a lot of...
a prescription, right?
Yeah, that's why.
They had... Well, they also had a lot of big investors initially, I think, is where it came from.
Yeah, because they believe that there's still a lot of value in the written word versus a lot of other places like FoxSports.com who shut down
right.
their writing completely.
All right, whatever. I hope Matt's making a nice salary.
Yeah, I think they're doing all right.
Now, he I just talked to Matt Klentak.
Yeah.
And so, Tyrone, read what Matt Klentak said about the Manny Machado contract to Matt Gelb.
If the reports are true, this contract will exceed our valuation. Sometimes you have to walk away.
Sometimes you have to walk away. So that says he wasn't willing to pay that for Manny Machado.
He was not willing to go.
Are we to believe that he is willing to pay that for Bryce Harper, or does the same rationale apply?
I believe that they'll pay that for Harper. The question is if he has to go above that for Harper. And the thing that bothers me about it is he says our valuation. When free agency happens with once-in-a-lifetime type of situations, and you have to remember now, even if you think you're getting Trout, that's 2 years from now. Because the other guy from Colorado, he's going to re-sign. So there's going to be no marquee free agent next season.
Right.
So you're now going to wait two seasons at the earliest.
Mm-hmm.
Forget your valuation. The valuation is based on the marketplace, not by your internal valuations. Your valuations don't mean anything. In free agency, it's about what someone else will pay versus what you'll pay and what it takes to get them. It doesn't matter we're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. You have to be uncomfortable because the market dictates it, not your computer. That's the wording concerns me.
Okay.
Our valuation. What does that mean? The Padres are willing to pay it. So that's the valuation. He was worth it. You want to know how you know? Because someone gave it to him. So he was worth it.
Oh, the precursor, the comments that Klentak made last week about this being a successful offseason, even if they don't get one of these two guys. Oh. All right, back to the phones. Matt Maple Shade. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Matt?
I am a huge, huge Sixers fan. Uh-huh. I go all the way back to when they had a two-game lead against Portland.
Right up.
And then I went into boot camp, and I find out via letters that they lost the next four.
Correct.
Now, this team they have today is not going to win a championship. In fact, they probably won't even get out of the first round. And there's a simple reason for that. They got the best center in the East, without a doubt. A mountain of a man. And where do they play him? He's out on the three-point line launching threes.
Yeah,
if I'm a Celtics fan, and I was watching that last game,
hold on one second.
I am tickled
Hold on.
Okay.
There's one misconception here, that he's always out at the three-point line.
Not always.
He shoots 15 free throws a game. Now, what does that mean to you?
I don't know. I've never seen a center.
Well, see, because you see him just take a couple threes, like six a game, and you multiply that in your head that he's taken 18 because it's so glaring. So you forget that he actually is down low scoring.
He
wouldn't get to the line that many times if he wasn't down low.
I agree. But
all right, so you're overvaluing that part of it.
Well, there's a lot of times that he won't take the three, and then he'll dribble and go in, and he'll walk.
Okay, this is a new team, right? This starting five is the best starting five in the East. Their bench is better than it used to be.
Yep.
You have to give this new team time with your eyeballs before you can say something like that. How in the world can you say they're not going to get out of the first round? They're not going to beat the Nets in seven-game series?
I'm frustrated watching this guy launch three.
It's one thing to be frustrated. It's another thing to be bathed in reality here. They're a pretty good team.
Oh, they are a good team.
All right, well, why would you say they're not going to get out of the first round? They're playing the Nets.
Because, okay, hear me out. If they played him like they played Moses Malone back in the day.
I know. We're all caught up in that. They don't play him well. I've heard it a million times. I can't take it anymore. All right? He does take some three-point shots. He does make some three-point shots. He's shooting better from three than, like, I don't know, he's 33% from three. That's not terrible. He can make that shot. I get where people are frustrated. They think it's Moses Malone. Moses Malone's in the game don't exist anymore. They don't. So don't focus on the three-pointer that he takes. Focus on the inside play that gets them to the line 15 times a game. It's all right. Don't worry about it. They're not going to lose in the first round. Brian and Horsham, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, Brian, you hang in there. Hold on a second. We're up against a break. We'll take your call after the break. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.